translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada Ki. Bhuvamangala Thakur abandoned his impersonal realization for the realization of the personality of Godhead. I now see that my condition is similar to his, for it has already changed. Please repeat after me. Bhuvamangala Thakur abandoned his impersonal realization for the realization of the personality of Godhead. I now see that my condition is similar to his, for it has already changed. Purport. In his early life, Bhuvamangala Thakur was an impersonalistic monist, and he used to meditate upon the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Later he became a devotee of Lord Krishna, and his explanation for this change is given in a verse, text 178, that is quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sometimes a devotee gradually comes to the stage of Bhagavan realization, realization of the Supreme Brahman, of the Supreme Person, after having attained the lower stages of realization, impersonal Brahman realization and localized Paramatma realization. The condition of such a devotee is described in the Chaitanya Chandramrita 5 by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Kaivalyam narakayate tridasha par akasha pushpayate dordan tendriya kala sarpa patale podkata damstrayate vishwam purna sukayate vidhi mahendra discha kitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhavavatam tam gauram eva stumaha. Kaivalya, oneness in the effulgence of Brahman, appears hellish to the devotee. The heavenly planets, the abodes of the demigods, appear to a devotee like phantasmagorias. The yogis meditate for sense control, but for the devotee the senses appear like serpents with broken teeth. The devotee doesn't have to control his senses, for his senses are already engaged in the Lord's service. Consequently, there is no possibility that the senses will act like serpents. In the material condition, the senses are as strong as poisonous snakes. But when the senses are engaged in the Lord's service, they are like poisonous snakes with their fangs removed, and so they are no longer dangerous. The entire world is a replica of Vaikuntha for the devotee because he has no anxiety. He sees that everything belongs to Krishna, and he does not want to enjoy anything for himself. He does not even aspire for the position of Lord Brahma or Indra. He simply wants to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he has no problem. He stands in his original constitutional position. All this is possible when one receives Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful glance. In the Chaitanya Chandramrita, there are many more verses illustrating this same principle. Dikkurvanti cha brahma yoga vidushas tam gaura chandram numaha, Chaitanya Chandramrita 6. Tavad brahma kata vimukta padavi tavan natikti bhavet tavat chapi vishrin kalatvam ayate no loka vedastitihi tavat chastra vidam mita kalakalo nana bahir vat masu Sri Chaitanya padam buja priyajano yavan nadig gocharaha. Chaitanya Chandramita 19. Gauras chaura sakalam aharat kopi me tivraviryaha. Chaitanya Chandramita 60. A discussion of the impersonal Brahman is not very palatable to a devotee. The so-called regulations of the Shastras also appear null and void to him. There are many people who argue over the Shastras, but for a devotee, such discussions are but tumultuous roaring. By the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these problems disappear. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll read the verse one more time. Bhuva mangala koila yoichi dasha apanada ihande kise dasha haila amara Bilvamangal Thakur abandoned his impersonal realization for the realization of the personality of Godhead. I now see that my condition is similar to his, for it has already changed. So at this point, different devotees are meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And at the moment, we're having an exchange between Brahmananda Bharati and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Brahmananda Bharati, boys, it would be good, Madhu, be good if you guys go and sit over there a little bit, because it's really distracting when you're sitting there talking and drawing. Is that okay, Gopi? Can they go and sit over there? So just go and sit at the back, boys. So the point is being raised here that Brahmananda Bharati was originally an impersonalist sannyasi. He came in his deerskin to Jagannath Puri. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is not appropriate dress, you should change your deerskin. And now Brahmananda Bharati is saying to him, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I was originally an impersonalist, and now by your association, then I am understanding that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I'm becoming a devotee of the Personality of Godhead as well. And he's giving the example of Bilvamangal Thakur, that was also the situation with Bilvamangal Thakur. And we know that there's many examples in Shastra of people who were originally impersonalists and then they became devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you think of any examples?
Four Kumaras.
The Four Kumaras, that's right. So when was it? It was when they tried to enter the gates of Vaikuntha. They were denied entry by Jayan Vijay. And then Narayan came and they smelled the aroma of the tulsi leaves offered to the feet of the Lord. And just by that aroma, they became attracted to Vishnu, and they could understand this is actually a higher realization than impersonal Brahman realization. Anybody else? Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, yep. He was actually with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He was teaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pulled the rug from underneath him, and he became the disciple. Any other examples? Shukadev Goswami. So I was speaking to Dal Baladevpuri before the class, and it's interesting how there's many great Vaishnavas who go through this leela of transformation in their lives. We know that they are eternal servants of Krishna, they're nitya siddhas. Shukadev Goswami is who in the spiritual world? Anybody know? He's Radharani's parrot. So Shuka means parrot. So Shukadev Goswami is an eternal servant of Srimati Radharani, but he goes through this pastime of appearing like a monist and then becoming a devotee. And we were saying perhaps it's because we go through that transition. We go through so many changes in our life, right? We have to evolve, we have to transform. And the Acharyas show us that example. My spiritual master sometimes says that if they just acted like perfect souls from the beginning to the end, it would be difficult for us to relate to that or to follow that. Srila Prabhupada went through Grihastha Ashram for so many years, had his own business, and then showed us his real caliber. So they're preaching to us, they're helping us deal with different situations in our lives. Sometime the devotees ask Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why is it you talk so much about impersonalists in your books? You know, big Mayavadi sannyasis or followers of Shankaracharya. Well, it's not so relevant for us in the West, you know. Where are these big impersonalists that you're always criticizing? He said, you're the impersonalist. We're the impersonalist because we're not Krishna conscious. So the real impersonalist that has to be defeated, the real impersonalist that has to change and to become a devotee is ourselves. And there's a very powerful point made in this purport here near the end where Srila Prabhupada is describing that the entire world is a replica of Vaikuntha for the devotee because he has no anxiety. He sees that everything belongs to Krishna and he does not want to enjoy anything for himself. He does not even aspire for the position of Lord Brahma or Indra. He simply wants to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he has no problem. Who has some problems in this world? Who has only problems in this world? And that's just the nature of the world, that it's just problematic. Anything you do, right? Anything you want to do, You have to endeavor, you have to sweat, you have to put in some elbow grease, as my mom would say. You have to struggle with it, you have to, you know, ask someone how to do it. Usually any little simple thing is difficult in this material world. But is that actually a problem? Is that an obstacle? Is it a difficulty for us? It is a big difficulty. It is a big problem if we're trying to enjoy. If we're trying to be comfortable and we're trying to enjoy in this world, then any little problem can be fatal. I know devotees who have committed suicide, a few devotees who have committed suicide. What to speak of non-devotees? But usually it's not like some crazy, terrible thing that happens in somebody's life. They're not, many people are at war at the moment, right, in different countries around the world. They're not going and committing suicide. They're fighting and they're going forward. So even if there's some small thing that happens in our life, a divorce or some death or something like that, it can be huge for somebody according to their mentality. But if we're in this mentality that I'm a humble servant of Krishna, then no matter what comes up, no matter what issues are there, no matter what problems are there, it can be overcome. Actually, there's nothing that can stand in the way of pure devotional service to Krishna. Nothing. There's nothing that can stop that. Even if it results in our own death, it doesn't matter. You just surrender, you carry on, right? Arjuna was surrendering his life, fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra for Krishna. Sure, there was a threat. Sure, there was a danger, right, of getting injured, getting killed. Did that stop Arjuna? No, he laid his life down for Krishna. And this reminds me of one of my favorite verses, which I just mention here. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apituliyata dashinaha. Means. So this is a very famous verse and a very important verse saying that for a devotee, Narayana Parasarve, one who has dedicated himself to Narayan, Nakutaschana Bibhyati, there's no fear anyway, anywhere. Bibhyati means like by a fear. Nakutaschana means anywhere. There's no fear for him anywhere. Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu, whether in the heavenly planets, in the hellish planets, here it also mentions liberation. Apituliyata darshinaha. So darshan means seeing. Apituliyata, he sees arta, the value of them both the same. So whether he's in hell or whether he's in heaven, for a devotee of Narayan, a real devotee of Narayan, it doesn't matter, he's not bothered. So there's such an amazing mentality, isn't it? That no matter what comes, you know, whether they ask me to do the transfer, or they ask me to give class, or they ask me to move out of the temple, or whatever may happen in life, and as Keshava Swami says, there's many life quakes that come in our lives. Anything can change at any second. I'm sure we've all gone through a few life quakes in our lives up to this point. For a devotee of Krishna, it doesn't matter. Apituliyata darshinaha. He sees it as the same. But only if we're in that mentality of seeing it for Krishna's pleasure and seeing it in Krishna's service. If we're seeing it in terms of what's going to make me comfortable, if we're seeing it in terms of what's going to be enjoyable for my mind, then even some tiny little thing, even somebody just looks at you in the wrong way, it can spoil your day. So this mentality of surrendering to Krishna, and as we're hearing in this verse, seeing that everything is there to be engaged in Krishna's service, is the real mentality of a devotee. And unfortunately, we do have this impersonal tendency, and we're in the perfect place to purify it because we're surrounded by people, and we're surrounded by devotees, and we actually have quite a high standard of how you're supposed to act amongst other people. And not only that, but Krishna sends various tests and various difficulties and various provocative situations to help us become humble servants. I remember when I was brahmachari in Soho Street, one time we had, I don't know if I mentioned this before, one time we had a party. I was the Sangatan leader at that time. We had a party for the Sangatan devotees. And it was only for the Sangatan devotees. It wasn't for everybody because we were preparing the prasadam, how much we needed. And one devotee, I didn't say anything to him. He didn't say anything to me. But he got so upset that I hadn't invited him that he just stopped talking to me, like indefinitely. So little situations, you know. And how do you react to that situation? Actually, he did that to another devotee in the Brahmacharya Ashram over one small thing, and that devotee started crying. So Krishna arranges these situations for our purification, for our development, because Krishna's not going to come and say, we come to the temple, Krishna's not going to say, you're very arrogant. You know, the way you dealt with that person was really out of order. No, he's going to arrange a particular situation where you have to raise the bar, where you have to raise your humility, where you have to raise your sensitivity, where you have to raise your selflessness, so that we can actually become more personal. We can't see Krishna now. We can't talk to Krishna. Krishna's not going to tell us where we're at, but we can talk to the devotees. Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastrai. The devotees represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially our authorities, but all devotees. So if something is coming up, then we should understand Krishna is trying to guide us, Krishna is trying to direct us, Krishna is trying to help us to become personal from being impersonal. I remember I used to be very impersonal. I'm very impersonal. But I had a friend at high school, and she was a Christian. And I would argue with her, like, where is God? Where is your God? Can you see him? She'd be like, no. I was like, does he talk to you? Does he reciprocate with you when you pray to him? She was like, well, no, not necessarily. I said, well, that's the proof, isn't it, that there's no God? It's just me at high school. And then when I went to India, I was 18, I was associating with more spiritual people, but they were all impersonalists. I had one person, his name was Kirti, and he was very nice and very interesting, but he was totally impersonal. And when I came back to England and I met the devotees and I was practicing devotional service, I invited him over to the temple and he came and we were discussing philosophy. I said, so you're saying that everything is one? He said, yeah, everything is one. And I said, well, why are you eating rice and dal and you're not eating, you know, that leaflet that's on the table or the cup? So maybe it is all one, but there's something beyond that as well. It's very, very simple, but he was saying, no, everything is one. But they're differentiating all the time. So we have to transition from that impersonalistic understanding to a personal understanding. And we should understand at the moment we still are conditioned by that impersonal understanding. And it's not until we actually reach perfection that we see Krishna face to face, that we're with Krishna, we attain Vastu Siddhi, being situated in our eternal original position as Krishna's servants, that tendency is still there. So it's something that needs to be rooted out. But it's something that is difficult to deal with. There are many different forms of liberation. Krishna is called Mukunda for many reasons, but one of them is because he is the giver of liberation. So what are some of the different types of liberation that we know of, devotees? There's four, right? I'm sure you know. Let's go through each of them at one point. Yeah, tell me one. Sarupya. That's quite self-explanatory, right? So that means that you get the same form as the Lord, right? A similar form to Lord Narayan. That's Sarupya Mukti. What else is there? Sayujya Mukti. So is that something that devotees would like? Sayujya Mukti means merging into the Brahman effulgence, becoming one with Krishna's effulgence. That's not something that devotees like. What else is there? Samipya. Yeah, which is Samipya? Samipya must mean attaining the same opulences as the Lord. Oh no, sorry, yeah, Sashti is that? Yeah, the Samipya is residing as a constant companion of the Lord. And then there's one more. Salukya, so that's residing on the same planet as the Lord. So liberation or mukti is an interesting term. If you go to a Hindu, you go to India and you say, you know, we want mukti, then that's something they can relate to, right? That's like an integral part of Hindu culture, Indian culture. In the West, not so much, but it's becoming more prominent. But then if you say, actually, what is mukti? Then there's so many different levels of mukti. So this Sayujya Mukti is what devotees see as worse than hell. Because we heard in that verse, Narayana Parasarve Nakutaschana Bibhyati Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu. Devotee doesn't mind being in hell. Srila Prabhupada said London is hell, but it's a great place to go on Harinam, right? It's a great place to distribute books. Srila Prabhupada also said England is hell. He said London, England is a green hell. You can see it pretty dismal. Although he also said when the sun shines, there's no other more beautiful place on the planet. Devotees don't mind being in hell because there's a lot of people to preach to, right? A lot of people to distribute books to when you're in hell. You've got a captive audience. But worse than hell for a devotee because you can't perform any services, being merged into the effulgence of Krishna. That's the worst thing. You can't. What are you going to do? You're like disabled. You can't serve Krishna. You're not active. It's just you're just one with Krishna for some time. And that, for a devotee, is the worst situation. These other types of liberation are not as bad, but this Sayujya Mukti is what devotees are not interested in. And it's explained also that this Sayujya Mukti that impersonalists are desirous of is only a temporary situation. It says in the Bhagavatam, Ye nye ravindaksha vimuktamaninas, Twayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhayaha, Aruhya kritrena paramparam tata, Patantyado nadrita yushmad angrayaha. That it says, O lotus-eyed Lord, although devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So, it's temporary. Even if you perform austerities and penances and you achieve mukti, you achieve the Brahman effulgence, the Brahmajyoti, you cannot stay there forever because the nature of the soul is personal and it needs some personal interaction. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that real liberation is something much higher. He said, Mukti pada yanra se mukti pada hoya. All kinds of liberation exist under the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is known as Muktipad. So it's Krishna who actually gives liberation, and the different types of liberation that Krishna can give that are more acceptable for devotees are, as we mentioned, Sarashti, Salokya, Samipya and Sarupya. So not merging into Krishna, but attaining those other perfections. Interestingly, I didn't know this before I read it here, that it says that there's two different types of Sayujya Mukti. One is merging into the effulgence of Krishna, and the other ones, anybody know? Yeah, exactly. Merging into the body of Krishna. So the Vedantists, they achieve the effulgence of Krishna, merging into the light emanating from Krishna's body. And do you know who attained Krishna's body itself? The followers of who? It says Patanjali, the followers of Patanjali. So I actually know someone who is a worshipper of Patanjali, a yogi. So maybe she'll end up merging into Krishna's body. But it's said that the merging into the body of Krishna is even more detestable for devotees than merging into the effulgence of Krishna, interestingly. But another very interesting point I found here, this is in Vilapaka Samanjali by my spiritual master. It says that this elevation, this type of perfection, this type of liberation that different yogis attain, the only way that they attain it is through the amount of bhakti that is in their practice. Because that is the only active principle. That is the only thing that helps him advance in devotional life. Krishna says, bhakti amam abhijanati yavanyaschasmitatvata. It's only by bhakti, it's only by devotion, it's only by service and by love that we can please Krishna, right? It's not like if I know 100 shlokas or if I'm very charismatic on book distribution or whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. So many non-devotees can exhibit those qualities as well, but Krishna doesn't care. It's the devotion, it's the love. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktiya prayachati. Krishna doesn't care whether it's an apple or it's an orange or it's a feast. Duryodhan prepared the biggest feast, right, for Krishna. Royal king, you know, imagine what kind of feast he could present. Krishna didn't want it. Vidura was offering Krishna banana skins. Krishna was very happily eating the banana skins. Vidura was in so much ecstasy, Krishna was there. He's peeling the bananas, giving him the banana skin. Krishna was enjoying it so much. He's with Vidura, he's feeding me, he's so happy I'm here, I love him so much. So Krishna likes the bhakti. And with these yogis, then there is some, there's something there because they're following the process, the impersonal Brahman. How does that verse go in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, I'm the basis of the impersonal Brahman. Brahmanohi pratishtam amritasya vyayasya cha shashvatasya chadamasya sukasya ikantikasya cha. So Krishna says, I am the impersonal Brahman. Maybe you're not like being that specific. You know, maybe it's like Christians said, like God. Okay, that's a good start, but you know. Or Muslims like he, Allah, he, you're saying he must be a person. It's a little bit vague for us. You know, let's get to be a bit more specific. So the yogis are like, they're shooting for Krishna, they're shooting for the absolute truth, the supreme Brahman. And they're understanding that he's everything, but they're not understanding that he's a person at the same time. So they're approaching Krishna. Prabhupada says that there's two different types of transcendentalists, right? There's the personalist and there's the impersonalist. So the yogis are approaching Krishna, but they're not understanding that he's a person. But because they're following the process, because they're studying Vedanta, because they're meditating on Paramatma, there's some aspect of bhakti there. And it's only that bhakti that is helping them to advance. That's the only thing, nothing else. And to the degree that they have bhakti, to that degree that they will advance. So I found that very interesting, that it's not that they're advancing due to some other means, jnana or vairagya, knowledge or detachment from this world. It's the devotion that is helping them. And it's the devotion that fosters and develops those other qualities. So if one is dedicated to understanding the absolute truth, then those qualities will come. Who here was like more impersonal, interested in like oneness before they came to devotional service? Put your hands up. Me too. It's like the typical thing in the West, right? You hear about Buddhism, oh, it's interesting, it's Eastern, reincarnation, meditation, and then you progress further from there. So these different aspects of liberation are there, but we understand that the real type of liberation is bhakti, and specifically prema bhakti. But we have a problem here. The problem is that Krishna is quite happy to give liberation to people. It's said that this Sayujya Mukti that he gives to the impersonalist, who else does he give it to? He gives it to the demons, right? He gives it to the demons that he kills. So it's not exactly a super achievement if he's giving it to the demons that are like demoniac, obviously. If they're getting liberation, then what kind of thing is that? It's like a punishment, you know? Kill the demon, chop his head off with the Sudarshan Chakra, stick him in the Brahman effulgence, you know? And the yogis are trying for countless lifetimes to achieve that. Krishna's like, yeah, you go stay there, you know, for some time in the Brahman effulgence, you know, get out of the way. But he'll give that quite easily. It's said, where is that bit? That these things for a devotee, liberation, for a devotee, it's inconsequential. It's not a big thing. It's said liberation is following after the devotees, right? Asking to serve them. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate saguna, no, how does it go? Mamcha yovyabhicharena sevate brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Is that right? Okay. So yeah, if you're performing devotional service, you're liberated. Right? If you're chanting Hare Krishna, that's the transcendental activity. Liberation is already there. It's already come. You're not doing anything else. You may be thinking about something else. If you're doing it properly, mamchya yo vyabhicharena, vyabhichari bhakti, you're already liberated. But the problem is that Krishna gives this sayujya, samipya, salokya, sarashti, but he won't give prema so easily. And the reason Krishna doesn't give prema so easily is that prema controls Krishna. So if you have prema, you're in control of Krishna. Krishna will do what you want him to do. Krishna becomes a puppet to you because you love him. Your love is so great. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, he wanted to test the gopis. So he took a form of Narayan in Paita. The gopis were running, looking after Krishna. Krishna had left them and he was there in Paita. And they came looking for Krishna. Krishna took on a four-headed form of Narayan. And the gopis came and they saw Narayan. Thought, Narayan in Vrindavan? They paid obeisances to Narayan. Said, oh, Narayan, where's Krishna? Can you tell us where he is? He's like, this way, points with four arms. He's gone that way. And then Radharani comes, and Krishna can't maintain that form as Narayan anymore. Her love is so great that it overpowers Krishna, and he just has to manifest his form as Krishna. Mother Yashoda is threatening to beat Krishna, tying him up. Krishna is petrified. So this is what prema bhaktas do to Krishna. Krishna is not independent of them. Krishna says, Napare ham niravaju samyujam, that I can't repay my devotees. I'm in debt to my devotees. Krishna is in debt. And that's a real debt. Krishna is in debt to the devotees due to their one-pointed love for him. There's so many devotees. In that instance, it's the gopis. There's billions of gopis. All of these billions of gopis have this one-pointed love for Krishna. It has such quality to it. Krishna can't reciprocate that ekanta bhakti because there's so many of them. He has to reciprocate with all of them. He can't focus on just one like they do with him. So he can't reciprocate that. Yeyatam mampapadyante, he can't. So he becomes a debtor. And he's internally in debt to his devotees with that prema. The only way he can become free from that is by coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still as Krishna, he's still in debt to his devotees. So Krishna doesn't like to become a debtor so easily. He does like it, but he's not going to give it away so simply. But there is a solution to that problem. Anybody know what the solution is? It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't say ye yatamam papadyante. Namo maha vadanyaya Krishna prema pradayate. The most merciful form of Krishna. And what's he giving? Prema bhakti. He's giving prema bhakti. He's just giving it freely. And not only is he giving it freely, he enjoys giving it to those people who don't want it. And devotees also experience that ecstasy. You go on book distribution. I went on book distribution a couple of days ago just for a little bit in Watford, and it's like you go onto the street and it's just how people look is like, if you've been with devotees doing your own thing, you go out and it's like, oh, this is a little bit ghoulish coming out here serving meat. Oh, like people, when it's like, it's heavy. But you go out, you give them, put a Bhagavad Gita in their hand, put a Bhagavatam in their hand, show them the pictures, joke around with them. It's just ecstasy, you know, that drizzly, dirty Watford High Street just turns into the most ecstatic place, even more ecstatic than being in the temple having a wonderful kirtan. It's like you get such a taste because you're giving that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the active principle in that. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love that he's giving. Tomavina ke dayalu, like we were singing. There's nobody else, like bina means separate. Other than you, Separately from you, there's nobody else so merciful. So we have to take shelter of Lord Nityananda. We have to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then you get it very easily. Like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was very precocious. Sri Vasa Thakur said he was the personification of pride and arrogance when he was Nimai Pandit. He was enjoying that pastime, roaming around Navadvip, arguing with all of the devotees, defeating everybody. All the devotees would avoid Nimai Pandit. They didn't want to get into useless arguments with him about Nyaya, Jnana. Was not devotional. Sri Vasa Thakur said, "You're the personification of pride. Why don't you become a devotee?" So then when Nimai Pandit, he went to Gaya and he took initiation from Ishvara Puri, then immediately he became mad in love of God. And when he came back to Navadvip, then he started to show that actually I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Advaita Acharya, he could see this is actually my Supreme Lord. And he left and went to Shantipur to test Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see what he would do next. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited, he told Sri Vasa Thakur, "I am the Lord that you're calling for. I am the Lord that you're worshipping." And he said, "Just see." And there was Narayani, who was Sri Vasa Thakur's niece. And he said, "Narayani, chant the holy name of the Lord in ecstasy." She was 4 years old. So she just started chanting the holy name and she attained prema bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just chant the holy name and immediately you attain prema. But other than that, it's almost impossible to get Krishna's mercy. And how do we get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy? Follow in his footsteps, preach Krishna consciousness, distribute books, go on Harinam, and practice as well. Practice chanting the holy name in the correct sadhachara. So there is hope for us to achieve the highest liberation, which is prema bhakti, but only if we take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we do that, we'll become freed of all of our impersonalistic tendencies and achieve the highest liberation, the highest perfection. Okay, thank you for your attention. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. My question is about, in terms of liberation, there's a different rasas, and one is Shantaras. So I'm just wondering, in Shantaras, it's more of a impersonal and paramatma realization. It can be that they get there, but do they have genuine love in that rasa as well? Is there love of God in that impersonal, in an impersonal way?
It's a good question. I'm not such an expert on Shantaras. It's an interesting situation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't classify it amongst the rasas. But as far as I understand, probably the senior devotees here will know more than me, that it's prema. You've got your rasa. You're there, like in Vrindavan, there's different, not people, but I think the trees, are they not in Shantaras? And what else are in Shantaras there? The cows are in Shantaras. So they're in... Yeah, so they have prema. They're in Goloka Vrindavan. They may not have the same... They don't have the same prema that you have in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. But at least there, they have prema bhakti. It's their original position. So... it's there. It would be rubbish if there was no cows or nothing to stand on or nothing to eat and nothing to milk. So it's all needed. But yeah, it's an interesting situation, Shantaras in the spiritual world. Yeah, any comments on that? It's an interesting point.
Cows and everything, I'm imbued with Madhurya, even though they're in Shantaras.
Yeah. So just it's a very fine point, isn't it? It's like...
the trees are bowing down to them, offer their fruits to Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, and also they're doing service. It says I'm not sure. There's lots of different aspects to it. Like Madhavendra Puri, he's a Kalpavriksha tree in the spiritual world, but he's in all of the different rasas. And also the queens of Dwarka, they have prema, But their prema is not as selfless as the gopis of Vrindavan. They have prema, you know, there's Rukmini, Satyabhama, they're eternally liberated souls, but they don't have that same level, although they have prema, and it's Madhurya Ras, Swakiya. It's interesting, all of these varieties. Premana, Rupuji, do you want to say something? Yeah.
So Krishna, normally if Krishna is a Kira Rasamrita Murti, means he can reciprocate with everyone unlimitedly according to their position.
If
you're a tree or
Mother Amala was
wanting to be a creeper, didn't he?
Yeah.
So the gopis will step on him.
It was Uddhava, and then Brahma also, right? He wanted to become grass in Vrindavan, on the outskirts of Vrindavan, so the gopis would step on him. Mother Ermola was saying, it's not exactly the same point, but she was saying, you have a small pot, 5-litre pot, you have a 25-litre pot. The 5-litre pot is full, you know, you can't put anything more in it. It may be less than the 25-litre pot, but it's full. Relatively speaking, it's the same. If you look at the percentage of how full it is, it's 100% full, even though it may be less literage. So they'll be satisfied in their position. And like I said, you need everything, right? You can't have just gopis walking around in on a black background and not eating anything. So you have to have a whole environment,
thinking,
right?
They're not thinking, the cows are not thinking, oh, I want to be a gopi. Or the grass is thinking, oh, I want to be a coward boy. They're just fully satisfied serving Krishna.
Yeah.
And Krishna's reciprocating with everyone.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Anything else? Yes, Andrew Perret.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. So you mentioned these that we go through these life quakes. When we do, sometimes it can be hard to kind of see it from a higher perspective and to kind of, it's hard to believe that, you know, this is Krishna being merciful to me. So how can we understand it from a higher perspective? And how do we know whether it's Krishna being merciful to us?
Everything is Krishna being merciful to you. But you have to have good sadhana. Like I remember myself when I joined the temple, I was 20. I was so pathetic. I was so weak, you know, in every way. But then by being with devotees, chanting the holy name, coming to Mangalarti, and for me, especially distributing books, being absorbed in book distribution and reading Prabhupada's books, it gives you so much strength, it gives you spiritual strength, and it makes you detached from the material world. So many obstacles will come. We see that in the lives of devotees. Just look at the devotees in our community here. So many things have happened, you know. But it gives you that strength to do it. The more you give to Krishna, then the more you get. We should surrender our lives to Krishna, you know, and give as much as we can to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And if we do that, then we'll develop that vision that Krishna is being merciful to me, Krishna is being kind. But to the degree that we don't have that good sadhana and that we're not being able to take part in Srila Prabhupada's mission, then we'll have a different mentality. But also we have to follow, we have to have devotees that we can refer to, that we can speak to, that we can tell that this is happening. And then explain according to your situation. That's why it's also good to have a shiksha guru or a mentor. But still, it's your life. You know, you're the one flying the plane. So, but Krishna is right there with you, and he'll show you. He'll put you in different situations where it feels like he's dropping you off a cliff, like with Prahlad Maharaj, right? He's pushed off a cliff. For us, it's difficult to relate to, but imagine actually having that situation. I'm sure nobody has been pushed off a cliff in their life. But Prahlad Maharaj was pushed off a cliff and Krishna let it happen. But what did he do? He caught him right at the bottom. So he's there. Krishna will put us in situations where we're like, you know, what's happening? This is exactly what I don't want to happen. But then at the last minute, he'll show you, you know, that I'm actually here. I'm actually... Krishna is quite a dramatist. And a you know, executive producer. He likes a bit of drama, and he likes his devotees to call out to him. He likes to see that, you know, what are they going to do? Krishna's right there with us every second. But the problem is we relate, we identify with our body, we identify with our mind, we identify with our senses, we are attached to our money, we're attached to our family, we're attached to our security, of which there is none. And Krishna will, you know, he'll push you to the edge that, okay, now I'm falling off the cliff, no point being attached to my car anymore, you know, I'm going to die. So may as well just call out to Krishna. So he won't give his devotees an easy life. Srila Prabhupada says that easy life and Krishna consciousness do not go well together. Ask devotees, just ask some devotees, how's your life been in Krishna consciousness? Sure, they'll sell you a few dramas that have happened, but how Krishna was always there. So get ready for the roller coaster and hang on to your bead bag. Everything will be okay. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu? And then we'll finish there. Okay.
Even after 9, Prabhu. So about this different types of liberation. Three types, like Sarupya, Sashti, and Samipya. They have the same destination, basically. Is it like you get the same feature, that means Vaikuntha, same opulence, you go to Vaikuntha, or same place, of course, you go to Vaikuntha. So how they categorize as a different? When you get one, you get the other two also. I don't know, is anyone...
I don't know. Anybody else know? Even Govinda doesn't know, so it's not worth knowing. Yeah, very interesting. I don't know. It would seem that they're interdependent. Although I guess they could be aspects of going to Goloka as well. I don't know if it only refers to Vaikuntha, because you're getting a... And Krishna's a cowherd boy, right? You're going to be a cowherd boy. I mean, that sounds like Sarupya to me.
But similar opulence to Krishna. There's a prema there. It's not like... This mostly is like those three are more like awe and reverence types.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to do some research on that. But I haven't heard that it says that only awe and reverence. This is talking about what Krishna is giving you, right? Living on the same planet as Krishna, if you're living on Goloka Vrindavan, I mean, it's also liberation, it's also mukti, then you're also attaining that. I don't see why there wouldn't be variety amongst different types of Sarupya. There's so many different Vaikuntha planets, right? There's also Ayodhya. I mean, you can't say it's not liberation, going to Goloka Vrindavan or going to Ayodhya. Liberation is only for Vaikuntha. It's for all of those spiritual planets. But they do seem like they're intertwined. I don't know, how would you have one without the other? You would have a spiritual form like Krishna, but not be on Krishna's planet. They're intertwined, I guess.
Just one other is, in terms of Mayavadis, do they accept Brahman? Because we know that Prabhupada also said that Mayavada, or Shankaracharya's philosophy, is just covered Buddhism, which is Shunyavada, total nothing. So do they accept Brahman, at least?
Yeah, that's their whole goal, is Brahman. Buddhists, yeah, they don't accept Brahman. They accept nothing, like voidists, yeah, but they're one up from that, Shankaracharya's followers. Yeah, that's what they're trying to attain, Brahman. Brahman, everything is one. Isn't it? I would say. Although also here it was saying that even Shankaracharya, I don't know if I find the quote here, but even Shankaracharya, he said to his followers that they should worship Krishna.
Yeah, worship Govinda, eagles.
Yeah, because it's only by worshipping Krishna that you're going to get anywhere.
He mentioned in biographies, he was disgusted with his disciples because they were too attached to this impersonal. Although he was preaching that, but it was just just kind of accept the Vedas. And
it's very interesting. Like Shiva, it was Shiva who came as Shankaracharya with this thankless task of misleading people, but taking them one step above Buddhism. And Buddhism is like, you know, reject the Vedas because you're totally misunderstanding the Vedas, and just follow some basic moral principles and you know, basically forget about philosophy because there is no philosophy to it. Everything is nothing. And then show Shiva has to do that. But it just shows that bhakti is the active principle in any spiritual path because it's Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yathah Shambhu, who came to teach impersonalism. And he's saying, read the Bhagavad Gita, you know. So it's only, bhakti is so supreme. There's only bhakti which is the origin of everything auspicious. And it's only by following principles that are connected to bhakti that you'll be successful in anything, whether it's impersonal liberation or even material life, right? The same qualities that come from being a devotee. Humility, tolerance, determination, that you're personal. In material life, those are the qualities that are going to make you successful. Those qualities are only going to come if you have performed pious activities in your previous lives, which are somewhat close to bhakti. If you're totally demoniac, you're going to be totally unsuccessful. If you're the closer you are to being Krishna conscious, the more successful you'll be. Which is interesting, because it may not seem like that in today's world, but they must have done pious things in their past lives to be able to have any kind of opulence in this world. Yeah, I think Prayojan Prabhu had his hand up first. Tarun Prabhu? Is this related? Go on, go ahead. Finders, keepers.
You discussed there's two kinds of sayujya mukti. One is merging into the effulgence, the other into the body of the Lord. And the one where you merge into the body of the Lord, that's regarded as more distasteful for a devotee. Why? And we also know that there's no difference between the body of the Lord and the Lord. So, yeah, wouldn't that be a greater thing to be part of Krishna?
But then it's like, in a relationship, then, like some people say, you have to love yourself, or everybody says that, right? So many people, you have to love yourself. You can't love yourself, because loving something means there has to be two people to love, you know. You can't love yourself. You can't, you know, you're so beautiful. Oh, thank you very much. I love you so much. Yeah, I love you too. I'm just one person, you know. You can't have a conversation like that. You need two people for a relationship. So to love Krishna, there has to be some distance, right? It has to be Krishna and it has to be you. The closer you're coming to being one with Krishna, the worse it is for a devotee. Merging into Krishna's effulgence, at least there's still like a little bit of separation between you and Krishna. Merging into Krishna's body, it's like there's no distance, there's no capacity for a relationship. I would say that's why it's worse. I didn't understand that. Yeah, but we are not loving Krishna. Yeah, they may love us as part of Krishna, but the thing for us is, what are we experiencing? Are we experiencing love for Krishna? And what was the other part that you said, Paramakrunapu? Why is it worse? Was that the only thing you asked?
Difference between Krishna and his body.
Yeah. There is no difference, but there is a difference as well. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So, I mean, there's no difference between Krishna and his body, but there's no difference between Krishna and anything, right? Everything is Krishna's energy. Krishna is everything. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamotina. Everything is Krishna. But at the same time, it's not Krishna. You know, Krishna is non-different than his body, but we have to be aware of what our position is in relationship to Krishna. So you can say, I'm standing on Watford High Street. I'm one with Krishna because Krishna is Watford High Street. Krishna is my body, right? Krishna is my mind. Krishna is everything. So you're always one with Krishna in that sense. But what are you conscious of? And how are you engaging in that relationship? What are you doing? What is the rasa? How are you serving? What are you experiencing? How are you giving pleasure to Krishna? What are you doing for Krishna? So in the spiritual world, the gopis, they're not just sitting around, right? Thinking of Krishna. Krishna said that to the gopis. He said, you know, just meditate upon me within your hearts. And they're like, Krishna, are you stupid? You know, we're not yogis. We want to serve you. We want to be with you. We want to feed you. We want to dance with you. We want to decorate you. We're not going to meditate on you. So in the spiritual world, they're not just, you know, they're serving. They're doing so many things. Dancing with Krishna, playing with Krishna, feeding Krishna. So although Krishna is everything, the gopis said, this is not for us. You know, this is not good enough for us. We want to be with you personally. But there's so many aspects to that as well, because then it's even better for them when Krishna isn't there. When Krishna is away in the forest, or even he leaves Vrindavan, then they experience the highest viraha, separation. But still, it's based on that. Sambhog, it's based on being with him. They want to be with him and they're not with him, so it augments the rasa. But they want to serve him, they want to be with him. They don't just want to be thinking of him or just be one with him. They want to be actively engaged in service. Yes, Prajna Puristur, determinedly raising his hand, not giving up. Is it on, Prabhu? I can't hear. Tap it and see.
Okay. I wanted to quote from Bhagavad Gita. Excuse me a second. I'll just find it again on the thing. It says in chapter 6, text 30, it says, "For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me." And it reminds me of, you know, there's all these things. Your Guru Maharaj once said to me, "How are you, Peter?" as I was then. How are you getting on? I said, "To tell you the truth, Maharaj, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling." And then he said to me, "Good. Keep struggling." And that inspired me to carry on, to not give up. So we see Krishna everywhere in that way. And that,
speaking to the mic.
Sorry, we see Krishna everywhere. Just in even in our struggles, we see him everywhere. And like your Guru Maharaj once, he expressed his love. There was a meeting of a Hindu conference, and one of the he couldn't bear to hear all the other people speaking impersonalist, and he got angry. And in the end, he expressed his anger. And then the people concerned, the impersonalist people, the impersonalist people, they walked off. You know, you can't behave like this. You know, what sort of person are you? What sort of sannyasi are you? And then, having expressed his anger, I'm just trying to think what happened next, but. And he started to preach about bhakti being the highest. He couldn't hold back. He was not an impersonalist, but it was based on love. So his anger was based on love. It's another form of love, isn't it? Anger. And so that was very interesting to me and to hear. At that time, I thought, oh, yeah, maybe you're right. But no, he was just expressing a form of his bhakti.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wonderful. So that's seeing Krishna in everywhere. You're never lost to him in all situations. So don't worry. Masucha. Krishna told him, don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Worry means that you're concerned about yourself. It's not surrender.
Yes, thank you, friend. Very nice. One time there was one Mataji and she was saying, she was complaining. I heard this story from somebody else. She was complaining to my spiritual master saying, it's too difficult, it's too hard, there's so many obstacles, I can't bear it anymore, I'm going to leave. And he said to her, do you love Krishna? And she didn't answer. He said, do you love Krishna? And she didn't answer. And he said, do you love Krishna? And she said, yes, you know, quietly. Yes, I do love Krishna. And they said, well, then nothing is too much. So, yeah. If we're Krishna conscious, we'll see Krishna everywhere. Like Andrew Puri was saying, then whatever situation we're going on, if we just remember Krishna, it's out of our control, you know. Everything is out of our control in this world, most things. We just remember Krishna and say, Krishna, what do you want for me in this situation, whether I'm going to be successful or unsuccessful or live or die or make mistakes or be successful, then, you know, it's up to you. I'm just trying to do my best. Okay, thank you. We'll finish there. It's time for breakfast. Grantaraj, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki jai.